Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It's Turncoat Tuesday. It's the second day of February 2021. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and by my brother, John D., United States Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. And of course, you're going to have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with JD and myself today. Well, it's currently 37 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 38 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And just cold and rainy and a little, I mean, not enough rain to make a difference. I mean, it's going to be dry here. You look at the mountains and you can tell, man, we ain't got close to what we need for snow. It's going to be dry and goddamn smoky. I mean, nothing to look forward to. And there ain't nothing to look forward to anyway, because we're in a fucking war. Good afternoon, John. How are things today out there in Beijing, Jersey?
Good afternoon, Henry, and of course to all our listeners. Right now, over here in the northeastern central state of Nazi Jersey, or Beijing Jersey, as we should call it, right now, about 95 feet above sea level mean, we currently have 34 degrees, still snowing out there. So this is day three straight. I mean, it's coming down real light, but it's still snowing out there. So right now we've had, it's got to be close to 2 feet now. I was out there, I've been out there all morning, who am I kidding, shoveling and snow plowing and using the snow blower and stuff, because you can't always just push everything out of the way. So at some points I was walking in, you know, just kind of in the middle of the grass there where there's no drifts or anything, and I was going down almost to my knee, you know, as far as once I would cave through. So it's close to 2 feet. I don't know what the exact measurement was, but it's coming down very lightly right now, and maybe later this afternoon it's supposed to stop, and we may even see a glimpse of sun before it gets dark tonight. And then, of course, it's supposed to warm up a little bit, so it'll turn it into a slushy mess tomorrow and the rest of the week.
Yeah, I seen it was flooding there in Jersey Shores and what might have you. I was watching on the news earlier, the report from there. Don't look like no fun. But,
well, I tell you what, Henry, I haven't used those kind of snow muscles in a while. You know, when you're doing all that shoveling and, you know, even when you use a snow blower, you know, because it's doing the bulk of the work, but you got to muscle the damn thing because it always wants to either track left, track right, or pitch up, pitch down, especially if you're near anything like your car. If you happen to be, you know, doing it right near your car, you want it to be ultra careful so you don't gouge into the metal with the edge of the snow blower. So you really got to muscle the damn thing. And I tell you, it's got to be 4 or 5 years since we've had anything even remotely close to this, so just not used to it, man. So I really feel it today.
And over here on the West Coast, nothing. Yeah, it's what they want it to be, because the weather is fucking manipulated. We know that, but oh man, I don't know what to tell you. Goddamn, the tyranny, fucking. I mean, you have the communist military occupation of the fucking People's Capitol House, where they're sitting there fucking putting their communist agenda into fucking motion. And is there anything in particular that's shining out for you today?
Well, I checked earlier, and I'm going to have to check again. You know, I did check the spot price on silver. And so here it is, Henry. Amazingly, you know, we're supposed to be at a record demand for silver, record low inventories to meet that demand. Of course, mining capacity, that is the ability to extract from the ground, doesn't change overnight. In fact, it takes really a year to 2 years to 3 years of – contracting and prospecting and getting the facilities in location to actually open up new types of mines that can possibly find silver, because you never just mine for silver. So there's no way that you're going to change your supply or your ability to meet supply by mining overnight. It ain't going to happen. In fact, it takes a couple of years typically from people's demand, increase in demand, to the marketplace or to the industry's ability to meet that demand by increasing mining, which they're not going to do because they're already pretty much maxed out as far as they're aware of where these potential minerals are or ores like silver. But yet somehow, Henry, the price of silver went down today. Well, at least earlier when I checked, it had gone down over a couple of bucks, which is amazing.
That is amazing. It almost sounds criminal. You know,
It sounds to me like somebody might be manipulating the price here.
Possibly, and I think that's supposed to be unlawful. You know, just like voter fraud across the fucking board, unlawful. They broke laws, man. People are going to jail, right? Just like Hillary Clinton went to jail, and you know, and then you have this goddamn thing where they stop the trading, you know, to protect the fucking hedge funds. Completely unlawful. That guy's sitting there going, that guy has to go to jail. That guy has to go to jail. I don't see nobody going to fucking jail. I don't even see nobody getting arrested. And today, well, I got this article in front of me. It says CDC inflated COVID numbers accused of violating federal law. Ooh, what the fuck does that mean anymore unless you're a fucking peon?
Well, Henry, I'm sure there's going to be a huge investigation about this. They're going to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to get to the bottom of that. And yes, they'll find out that those numbers were inflated. But it was just an act. It was poor judgment, Henry. They misspoke. That's all it was.
It was completely unlawful. We just cannot find a federal district attorney willing to call a grand jury. I mean, they're willing to prosecute the case.
No reasonable prosecutor would go after it.
There you go. I'm sorry. You're right. Reasonable. I forgot about that word.
You know, Henry, I remember a case, and this is years and years and years ago. It's got to be about 20 years ago, and I don't remember what the stock was. But there was someone who had it was an institutional purchaser. They had bought a bunch of stocks with the intention of causing a price change. Remember what I told you? Theoretically, there's two types of stock market people. One is the market creators. They bring together the buyer and the sellers. And then there's the price movers. When you sell a stock, you drive the price down. When you buy a stock, you typically drive it up. Now, in reality, for small purchases, thousands, several thousand, 10,000, there's no reflection in the price change because that's minuscule. But about 20 years ago, I remember that somebody was accused of intentionally buying stocks at a volume that they knew would manipulate the price. And so they got charged for a crime for that.
Wow. Who was the lady, you know, that she was like the cooking lady on the TV?
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart, yeah, she paid. That was just for insider trading. We're not talking
and
about.
You know, the part was she bought the stock. Now, the lady that was there with her housekeeper, whoever it was, ratted her out, turned her in, threw her under the bus because all she had to say is, gee, I don't know what happened, and they couldn't have touched Martha Stewart. They got her on one lady's testimony, but Martha Stewart bought the stocks and then immediately reversed the order. So she never even kept the stocks, and she went to jail for, was that 8 months or something like that?
Yeah, she did. She did some time. So some people aren't too big to be prosecuted. Martha Stewart, maybe that was just a fucking to try to make the people think that there was some kind of fucking control mechanism over these fucking monsters. I don't know. Anyway, the CDC, well, that seems like we have federal laws being violated even in the Admiralty, because this would be in the Admiralty. That's what they're talking about. That's how this whole shit and thing was built. So it really has nothing to do with the goddamn, you know, the fact that that an unlawful corporation created unlawfully is violating the fucking people's fucking rights, spitting on our fucking law and spitting on us and trying to fucking subjugate us. But we're going to jump into these COVID fucking numbers because the numbers count. I mean, the fact that we, you know, can prove time after time after time, every fucking number they ever gave us was a fucking lie. Let's see how big.
Now, Henry, based on those lies, now they're telling you they want to make wearing two masks mandatory. They want to make this mRNA vaccine, which is not a vaccine. Remember, we covered the definition of what a vaccine and what it is they're injecting into you, which is a chemical slash bioweapon. They're talking about making that mandatory, Henry, because this is never going to go away. It's just never going to go away.
Well, they need to just fucking try to make it mandatory, because that would be yet another violation of our fucking procedural due process laws that are fucking ratified and fucking written. And fuck you, I mean, that's the fucking law. That's the highest law in this goddamn land. I mean, we're either going to defend it, people, or you're going on your fucking knees, and you might as well bend down and take that fucking bullet to the back of your head and flop over in the fucking ditch. Anyway, we're going to jump into this, if it's okay with you, John, when we turn. Yes? Yes.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
And John D. Alrighty then, CDC inflated COVID numbers. I want to know, you're there, John, I didn't hear you. You there? John? John, man, have we lost? We may have lost John. I wondered why he didn't answer. Is it showing him, Laura? Well, John, if you can hear me and you're trying to talk, I can't hear you. I don't have to tell you, I'm going to jump into this story. CDC inflated COVID numbers, accused of violating federal law. This is from National File, sent in by Misty for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. CDC illegally inflated the COVID fatality numbers by at least 1,600% as the 2020 presidential election played out, according to a study published by the Public Health Initiative of the Institute for Peer and Applied Knowledge. The study COVID-19 data collection, comorbidity and federal law, a historical retrospective, was authorized by Henry Early, or Ely, Michael McEvoy, Daniel Chong, John Nowick, Monica Sava, Sandeep Gupta, David White, James Jordan, Daniel Simon, and Paul Anderson. The CDC now is legally requiring red-blooded Americans to wear face masks on all public transportation as globalists try to push the concept of double masking, as John was talking about, on the populace. Since the election, the World Health Organization admits the PCR tests are not totally reliable on the first try, and a second test might be needed. The correspondence with the CDC quiet admission that it blended viral and antibody test results for its case numbers, and that people can test positive on an antibody test if they have antibodies from a family of viruses that caused the common cold. Hospitals in Florida had so many accuracy complications that Orlando Health had to admit that its 9.4% positive rate got recorded as 98%. Laura, oh, there you are. I thought I'd lost you.
Yeah, mysteriously, Henry, you were talking, all of a sudden you just disappeared. Now, my free conference calling here, it wasn't even turned off, nothing. It just, you just stopped. You just disappeared.
That's what happened. Well, here, I was going, you didn't answer me when I said I was going to the break, and then we got back, and I was calling out to you, and I figured that I'd, you know, you lost connection, and you were You happened to fucking reload the computer.
No. Actually, my screens are loading up just fine. It was just the conference calls. And it didn't say that I was disconnected or anything. It showed that it was, you know, by the screen. It looked like everything was working fine, but you were just gone. There was nothing there.
Well, I was here, and I was going, John, where are yeah. And anyway,
well, the only thing I had to shut down and reconnect was the conference call itself, because it just wouldn't respond.
I guess you caught the first line I read there. CDC illegally inflated the COVID fatality number by at least 1,600%.
Now, wait, Henry, even by Democratic standards, 1,600%, that would be significant?
I'm pretty significant in my book, anyway. At any rate, we were down here.
Wait a movie here. You ever see, what the hell was it? Kung Pao. It's a spoof on, like, the old Bruce Lee movies, the 70s, late 60s, 70s.
I may
Bruce
have watched
movies.
It with one of my boys one time. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, and you know, they remember with the David Carradine, what was that show? Kung Fu.
Uh-huh.
You know, and every day they have those little flashbacks to his instructor when he was a little kid. You know, he was learning how to be a martial artist, and he'd have those little flashbacks to his little philosophical lessons that he carried with him for the rest of his life. Yeah. And they did that in Kung Pao, where he says, well, and he's having a flashback, and yes, and someday you shall learn about something, and it shall be significant. And that was all he ever said.
Significant. Weed hopper. Yeah.
So I think 1,600% falls under that purview of significant.
Well, I think 9.4% being turned into 98% does too.
Oh, that clearly meets the definition of significant, even in Hillary Clinton's misspoken textbook.
Excuse me. The groundbreaking peer-reviewed research asserts that the CDC willfully violated multiple federal laws. I said violated. I violated multiple federal laws, including the Information Quality Act, Paperwork Reduction Act, and Administrative Procedures Act at minimum. Most notably, the CDC illegally enacted new rules. You know how they, remember when they changed how they counted the fucking unemployed? Because, so they could get the, I mean, drive the numbers down by, because, you know, you lost your unemployment insurance, you weren't looking for work anymore, and you were taken off the fucking, you weren't counted anymore. You weren't looking for work. You were sitting on your fucking couch. We survived somehow,
no,
didn't we?
I noticed they didn't throw in the CDC's lies, because that's what they were. I noticed they didn't mention the word fraud, because that's what they were committing, fraud.
Well, yeah, and, well, violating even their own, this is, you know, within the admiralty, this is their codes and statutes, I suppose, which aren't fucking law to us, but, well, I mean, all we can
now,
do is...
Now, these very numbers that the CDC put out there, remember, which is a corporation, go to Dun and Bradstreet, type in CDC, Centers for Disease Control, Dun and Bradstreet, and it comes right up under their business directory listed as a subsidiary corporation. That's exactly what it is. And so whatever they describe, it doesn't matter. It's a corporation, but people think they're a government agency, and uh-huh. The United States government acted on what they said, causing billions, if not trillions of dollars in economic damage.
Non-governmental agencies fucking are running this fucking communist takeover, no doubt about it.
Well, an NGO, right? Non-government organization.
Exactly. We'll go again. Most notably, the CDC illegally enacted new rules for data collection and reporting exclusively for COVID-19 that resulted in a 1,600% inflation of current COVID-19 fatality totals. The watchdog group, All Concerned Citizens, declared in a statement provided to National File referring to the Institute for Peer and Applied Knowledge Study. The research demonstrates that the CDC failed to apply for mandatory federal oversight and failed to open a mandatory period for public scientific comment in both instances as required by federal law before enacting new rules for data collection and reporting. The CDC required to be in full compliance with the federal laws even during emergency situations. The research asserts that CDC willfully compromised the accuracy and integrity of the COVID-19 case and fatality data from the onset of this crisis in order to fraudulently inflate the case and fatality data, stated All Concerned Citizens. And, you know, and I mean, everything these motherfuckers do. I mean, when whatever you catch them at and corner them in, COVID. It's just COVID. I'll tell you what, Goebbels, you're fucking, it's falling apart on you. This is the one time it ain't going to fucking work, buddy. You didn't have the internet to contend with.
Henry, now they said that, you know, basically that they overinflated the figure from 9% to 94%, but that's a lie too, because there is still not a single proven, confirmed case of actual COVID-19 isolation, which means all of the positives are absolute fraud. Not 94% of them, not 95% of them, 100% of any positive is an act of fraud.
It has to be. Logic dictates. And but you know, this has worked. I mean, every time, I mean, they can divert attention from whatever monster, like just like the election thing. You know, they had their little fucking gang up there to go into the goddamn Capitol building for no fucking reason. Actually, if they were a part of that crowd that was there, and they were there what they were supposedly there for, they hurt themselves. They stopped it. They stopped the fucking revealing of the fucking fraud. So, you know, here we are again.
I'm sure there's going to be a big investigation about this, these inflated numbers about the COVID. But then again, aren't we still waiting for the results of a legitimate investigation about 9/11? I mean, we did have people die then, no question about it. And they died from severe trauma because a building came down on them that killed most of the people that were in those buildings. And then, of course, there were the people who died later on just from all the dust and everything when they were doing the cleanup. There's still people dying from that stuff.
And how many false flags have we seen in between? I mean, like the Boston bombing with the guy with his leg supposedly cut off, not bleeding. I mean, they just kept pushing it to the point now where there's just, I mean, it's right in your goddamn, like the muddy elephant shitting in your lap.
I'm sure they're talking about having a committee, a congressional investigation into these COVID misbrandings of numbers, and they're going to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on it. I'd still like to know when they're going to do an investigation about this election fraud, and while we have an illegal foreign-operated government sitting in Washington, D.C., who that is treason and sedition, and this was a coup. This was a military coup that has occurred, is occurring, and it hasn't changed because they even got their military down there guarding them because it's a military coup.
Well, man, don't you worry, because Donald Trump and QAnon have a plan. And they're any day now, they're
right.
Going
to
jump
so
up.
So that's right. We just have to trust in the plan.
Yeah,
that's right.
just any day now, they're gonna come forth, and we're going to fix all this shit.
Just hold your breath, Henry. Keep waiting. Hold your breath. Wait. It's coming now. Any year now. Any decade now.
That's all I got, John. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Let me see.
I can't get over it. You know, we talk about all the goofy shit they're doing. You know, you go into some of these other alternate media websites, and there's some of them are still out there pushing the story. Oh, this is all part of the plan. We were just going to let them take Washington, D.C. so that we can prove they were committing treason, that they are a foreign-controlled occupation force. But Trump's he's working with the military right now, and they're getting ready to arrest all of them, don't you know?
Well, I was down at the hardware store a week or so ago, and there were always people there that I don't know anymore because there's so many Californians that moved in here. But this guy was there picking up a gun, and you know, they're talking about the thousands and thousands and thousands. It was like at 27,000 that are waiting on a background check, right? And I said, well, how long have you been waiting? He said 3 weeks, and then he kind of comes over there by me, and he goes, Donald Trump. He goes, they got a plan. It's gonna. I said, Donald Trump isn't gonna do anything, pal. You know, you're delusional. But at any rate, yeah, they've got a plan. And man, John, I mean, I can't wait for him to deliver me from this fucking evil. But I don't see it happening. I think that you and I and everybody else and every American national is going to have to get out there and go into a fucking dogfight and take the fucking rights back the same way they were taken from the fucking king in the first place. That's just my opinion. I mean, I got nothing solid like QAnon and Donald Trump to back me up here. I mean, all I have is the fucking facts. Here we go. On March 24th, the CDC published the NVSS COVID-19 Alert Number 2 document instructing medical examiners, coroners, and physicians to de-emphasize underlying causes of death and also referred to as pre-existing conditions or comorbidities, okay, by recording them in part two rather than part one of death certificates as the underlying cause of death are expected to result in COVID-19 being the underlying cause of death more often than not. This was a major rule change for death certificate reporting from the CDC's 2003 Coroner's Handbook on Death Registration and Fatal Death Reporting. And Physician's Handbook and on Medical Certification of Death, which have instructed death reporting professionals nationwide to report underlying conditions in Part 1 for the previous 17 years. And this single change resulted in a significant inflation of the COVID-19 fatalities by instructing the COVID-19 be listed in Part 1 of death certificates as a definitive cause of death, regardless of the confirmatory evidence, rather than it listed in part two as a contributor to death in the presence of pre-existing conditions, as would have been done using the 2003 guidelines. The research draws attention to this key distinction as it has led to a significant inflation in the COVID fatality totals. By the researchers' estimates, COVID-19 recorded fatalities are inflated nationwide by as much as 1,600% above what they would be had the CDC used the 2003 handbook stated all concerned citizens. And again, here we are. We watched them do this with the fucking law. I mean, over the years, with the first meltdown in 2008, we watched them fucking bring that number down by changing how they fucking calculated it. You know, it's not how many people aren't working. How many people these people are all off unemployed. They're not getting unemployment no more. Well, it ain't because they don't want it. It ain't because they don't need it. It's because you've kicked them off of it. You got rid of the fucking unemployment, and then you got rid of the fucking numbers of people who were unemployed. By the millions, you fucking did it. Right down to 3.2 total employment while there was 100 million people out of fucking work. I mean, these lying son of a bitches, it's playing with numbers, and if people will fucking listen to it, well, here's somebody that went and did a study, that went and looked at the fucking numbers. 1,600% more people were recorded as dying of COVID-19 than died of it. 1,600%. Then on April 14th, the CDC adopted additional rules exclusive for COVID-19 in violation of federal law by outsourcing data collection rule development to the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists, a nonprofit entity, again, without applying for oversight and opening opportunity for the public scientific review. Of April 5th, the CSTE published a position paper, standardized surveillance case definition and national notification for 2019 novel coronavirus disease, COVID-19, listing 5 CDC employees as subject matter experts. This key document created new rules for counting probable causes as actual cases. And you know, we saw the goddamn influenza rate go down to 1%. Cancer rates, everything just went down all of a fucking sudden to nothing. And the COVID fucking, it fucking went across and it was killing everybody. No, it fucking was not. It was all bullshit. It's always been bullshit and it's still bullshit. And if not, COVID doesn't exist. Like John said, I'm reading this. It's like trying to read about the fucking Constitution. It doesn't exist. You know, this fucking, COVID doesn't exist. They have never isolated the fucking virus. Or the antibodies. It can't exist until they do that. And something that can't exist, well, it can't kill you now, can it, John? Without definite proof of infection, section 8A1, page 4 and 5, new rules for contact tracing, allowing contact tracers to practice medicine without a license. Section 7A3, page 5, and yet refused to define new rules for ensuring that the same person could not be counted multiple times. Maybe it's like the vote. Maybe they're counting dead people that died 10 years ago. Multiple times as a new case, section 2B, page 7, stated all concerned citizens. by enacting these new rules exclusively for COVID-19 in violation of federal law, their federal fucking bullshit fucking policy that don't mean shit, and there is no consequences to them fucking pissing, violating the hell out of it. That's why it was put in place, and they were given immunity from prosecution under it. The research alleges that the CDC significantly inflated data that has been used by elected officials and public health officials in conjunction with unproven projection models from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation to justify extended closures for schools, places of worship, entertainment, and small businesses, leading to unprecedented emotional and economic hardships nationwide. A formal petition has... Here we go, John. You were right. They are going to get them anyway. It's probably QAnon and fucking Donald Trump working behind the scenes. A formal petition has been sent to the Department of Justice, as well as all U.S. attorneys, seeking an immediate grand jury investigation into these allegations. All concerned citizens stated.
There we go, Henry. That's going to solve everything.
You bet you it will. And I'm betting that fucking QAnon and Donald Trump are leading the charge from the shadows. That being said, we're going to go ahead and take our break. We'll be right back.
And Henry, you know what? If I was a betting type, I'd put together like a football truck. You ever see the football pools that people do during the...
Yeah.
What was it? The
Super Bowl? Or the
Super Bowl.
I would
do one though for how many millions are they going to spend on this? You know, is it going to be 8 million, 15 million, 20 million, 30 million?
All them Jews at the law firm are doing little jigs right now, okay? That's how much. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. We'll be right back.
the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered what I'd done. Hoops today, but forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hill before I sail my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and by my brother, John D., United States Marine Fighting Tyranny. And you know, I was thinking about it during the song there. The last few days, you know, this thing with Como and the under-reporting of 50% under-reporting of the deaths in the goddamn, in the old folks' homes where he supposedly sent them. But we know COVID don't, it's hard to talk about because it don't exist. But I mean, if that hadn't been put there in place because they knew that this was article was coming out, that this research had been done that showed that, you know, they had over-reported by 1,600 fucking percent. I just got to wonder. That being said, it's time for the tactical report, so I'm going to be turning this mic over to my brother, John D., United States Marine Fighting Tyranny. Go give him hell, John.
Okay, Henry. Thank you as always. Okay, let's get moving. I am John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. Is it Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
I had to think for a
Tuesday.
Huh?
Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. That's right. We did have a broadcast yesterday. That's it. My mind is slipping. The gears are grinding. It is Tuesday, February 2nd. It is Groundhog Day, by the way, 2021, 1543 p.m. Or 1543 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 343 p.m. And to all you retards out there who think this is all part of the Trump plan, Mickey's little hand is past the three, and his big hand is just past the thing that looks like a little snowman. That would be the number 8. All right, let's get moving here. So let's do a quick flyover to financial markets, and let's see how they're reacting to all this this idea of these big Wall Street hedge funds being smashed to pieces, and, of course, the silver price manipulation being destroyed. Right now, over in the precious metal spot market on the New York Exchange, we've got gold at $1,835, so no biggie there. In fact, it's actually down a little bit today, so they're continuing their price suppression quite successfully. Over in silver. Now, I love this. I love this. If you actually go to Kitco and you look at it, they used to call it the gold spot price. They used to call it the London Fix. But that was just a little too obvious, so they got rid of that. They're still doing the same thing, but they just got rid of that. But when you look at the silver price, it says right on it, Kitco, 10 a.m., silver fix, because that's what it is, people. The whole pricing scheme is a fix. Now, remember, the price is supposed to be determined through what's called the discovery mechanism, that is supply and demand. And so it's always an offer and bid price, and it's the meeting of the two that actually determines the price. But when you have a fix in place, that's anything but the free market system. In fact, it's complete fraud. But they still call it the silver fix. Just in case you weren't smart enough to figure out what a fix means when it comes to a price. And right now over in the New York Stock Exchange, the spot market price, that was the words I was trying to think of. The spot market price for silver is currently $26.34, which is actually down $2.21 an ounce. And that's a pretty big drop for silver, especially when you consider the action that we've seen over the weekend and yesterday when they talked about that the price suppression mechanism in both some of these stocks, you know, where the short sellers got caught. And then, of course, in the precious metals with gold and silver, particularly silver right now, you would think that silver would be on the upside somewhere in the mid-30s, high 30s, or even low 40s at the very moment. But no, it's actually down $2.21 an ounce right now, which is pretty much mathematically impossible, since what they've said is, and we've had several of the major retailers that sell silver, like Atmex, that's just one of them, there's Bullion Gold, there's several of them, and they all announced that they were no longer going to sell silver, or at least temporarily suspending their silver sales because they can't guarantee delivery. Now, that would be huge. You would think on that aspect alone, the price of silver would easily be up 20, 30, or even 40%. But it's down $2.21. That's not even remotely possible, except unless there's fraud. Shh, don't say that word. Oh, that's the dirty word. They don't like that word, fraud. But that's what it is, people. Going on, let's scroll down and see what the other fraud indicators show. Right now we've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average up. Look at this, 566 points at 30,778. Oh, I guess everything is fine here in the land of lollipops and rainbows. We've got the U.S. Zala Index. It's over 91%. And crude oil is up $1.20 at $54.75 a barrel on the New York spot market. Going down to that gambling device called cryptocurrencies, we've got Bitcoin currently up. Look at this. It's currently up $2,121. That's just today's movement at $35,716. That's the current price if you want one Bitcoin. You're going to shell out nearly $36,000. Ethereum is up $135 at $1,511. Litecoin is up $11 at $143. All right, talk about fraud. My God. Going on. Now, this is interesting over in King World News. Now, I knew King World News would have a few articles on this, so I thought I'd just at least give you a quick rundown on a couple of headlines. What timing? Curiously, J.P. Morgan downgrades silver stocks, but this is even more stunning. And that is curious, because you would think that if the price suppression mechanism, especially in the silver markets, was in the process of being destroyed, if anything, you're going to go long on silver stocks, which means you expect the price is going to rise on silver stocks. You know, the mine producers in particular. That's when they say the silver stocks, they're really talking about the producers, the people who actually go dig out the metal from the earth. You would think that their stocks were going to go up because the demand is going to obviously be higher. Let's see what this says real quick. The core of the silver squeeze production deficits, as far as I can see. Now, he's talking about, when they talk about the silver production deficit, that's the difference between how much demand there is and how much annual mining actually produces silver. And when you have a deficit, that means there is more demand than there is being silver extracted from the mines, and you have a deficit. How do you make up for that? Well, it comes from what they call above ground stores. That is, it's being held in safes, you know, bullion safes, some of these ETFs and stuff like that. They hold millions of ounces, and so they constitute what's called the above ground store of silver, whereas the stuff that's not dug out of the earth yet, they call below ground or inferred silver stores. And that's true for all commodities, you know, that has to be dug out of the ground. You have above ground, meaning it's already been dug out and been processed, or at least held in some kind of ingot somewhere that maybe needs another refining process, but they have it in hand and they know exactly how much they have. And then there's the below ground, the stuff that hasn't been dug out, but they suspect there was this much in this particular vein, this much in this country, this much in that country. And they call that below ground or inferred reserves. And they do that with oil quite a bit. So let's see what this says. It says, how has this massive silver deficit gap been filled? The gap was filled by selling above ground silver stocks, mainly a few billion of the old silver coins. Now, I don't know how true that is, but that's what this is saying. The problem, the stack is now almost depleted. Now, this strikes right at the very chord of what we were just talking about, or what I was just talking about not even a minute and a half ago. If you realize your above-ground stores are almost completely wiped out, well, the only reaction that could naturally occur is the price of silver has to go up in the spot market, and the price of the miners, that is the companies themselves, are going to see a rise in their stock prices because their product is going to be in high demand. But yet we're seeing the exact opposite, because that's your indication of fraud. So when we now see, so we now need to find some new silver. The only problem, we haven't found enough. And what we did find, we can't get into production. The Navidad silver discovery in Argentina blocked for political reasons. Pascua Lama discovery owned by Barrick, and Barrick's one of these huge industrial miners, development stopped after spending $6 billion for different / environmental reasons. Long-term disaster. Egon von Geyra is out of Switzerland. It's shameful, though the IMF and others will never admit their own responsibility, pointing instead to COVID, like a guilty child with his hands already in the cookie jar of debt. Whatever debt is used to enjoy short-term buzz, the result is simply long-term disaster. How to bring down the silver price? Just downgrade miners. And this is by John Tulip over at J.P. Morgan. Downgrading silver miners is like Citadel downgrading GameStop. Not credible. And what does that mean? That means fraud, people. That means it's complete fraud. Remember what I told you? The entire financial system is nothing but one giant act of fraud at this point. Now, there was a point where there was some legitimacy. How much of it was legitimate? Based on my intuition and my understanding of the system, especially after studying it for years and years, I'm going to guess that it was never more than 50% legitimate. At its best day, it was nothing more than 50% legitimate. But however, right now, I would say that it's maybe 2 or 3% legitimate. And that's if we're lucky to even achieve that. Going on, Sprott on physical silver stash expanding. PSLV, Sprott Physical Silver Trust, added 6.4 million ounces of silver today. 99.6 million of ounces of physical silver now already held by PSLV, which is physical SLV, physical silver. Now, I'd like to know where they got this nearly 99 million ounces of physical silver. It says approaching support on silver, and this is over from a top Citi and Citibank, that's what they're talking about, top Citi analyst Tom Fitzpatrick, and I've seen him several times mentioned in these King World articles. Silver, after trading briefly above the $30 handle yesterday, it gave away all of yesterday's gains as the metal nosedived back below a horizontal support level at $27.93 overnight, $27.93. If the metal continues to trade below this level, we should see it moving back toward an interim horizontal support at $26.01. Now, again, given everything that we know that is really going on, this is absolutely mathematically impossible without absolute and complete fraud rife through our financial system. That's the only way you can get this level of price suppression on something like silver, where the genie has basically gotten out of the bottle now. Scam alert. Where did all the silver come from? Bullion Star out of Singapore. Now, Singapore is a huge transit point for both physical and paper gold and silver. Singapore is an absolutely huge trading point. Let's see what this says. It says iShares Silver Trust, or SLV, some people know GLD, which is the gold one, and SLV, which is the silver trust, claims its silver holdings rose by 580 tons today. to 19,302 tons. Now, that's a huge amount of silver, which would be 58% of all the silver, which the LBMA, and that's the London Bullion Merchant Association, claims is in its London vaults. Where is J.P. Morgan sourcing the silver? Now, LBMA is supposed to be one of the largest holders of silver bullion on the planet. And yet they're claiming here that they just got delivery of what would amount to about 60% of what the LBA claims it's holding. Nonsense. Heresy. This is complete fraud, people. I'm telling you now, and you've heard Peter Schiff. If you've ever followed Peter Schiff, you buy the silver and gold if you're going to make that investment while you can get it. Because at some point, even though the price will be suppressed, let's say silver never gets above 30 bucks an ounce, let's say gold never goes above $2,000 an ounce, it won't matter to you if you can't get it. That is, yeah, the price looks attractive, especially as the currencies are rapidly to increase their depreciation rate. That is, they start losing more and more of their purchasing power as the effects of hyperinflation set in. So at that point, you start thinking, maybe I should buy a little silver and gold. The prices are certainly decent. Not great, but decent. But guess what? You're not going to be able to get delivery because nobody's going to have physical inventory to send you at that price. So this is what we always warn people about. Don't worry about if it's the best price you can get or not, because even if the price goes down in the future, it doesn't matter if you can't get it. Going on. Let's take a quick look here. Now, this is interesting. Over in Shit Hit the Fan Plan, or SHTFplan.com. These are the shadowy New York financial institutions that forced Robinhood to restrict trading in certain stocks. So now we're getting into a little bit about who were some of the background players that told Robinhood, oh, by the way, you're going to intervene to make sure that the Wall Street hedge funds don't get completely slammed. Well, who are some of these background players that we haven't heard mentioned yet? Let's see what this says. Have you TCC? Now, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, John, it's going goofy on you. They don't want to hear this part. John. If you can hear me, you're not going through right now. If you can hear me, you're not going through right now. I think they've just...
Okay, how about this?
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me see if I can get back to where I was now. Okay, so where was I up to when it went out on me?
That's kind of a tough one because I was turning knobs and.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so I'll just start the beginning of this one, talking about who were some of the shadow players involved.
The shadow players. That was it.
Okay. All right. Great. So I didn't get cut off too long before you let me know. Great. Thank you. All right. So we were talking about the intervention by some of these people stopping the Wall Street hedge funds from destroying GameStop because they were trying to do the short sale and drive the price down, and then they were going to try and buy the company out basically for pennies on the dollar. But that got stopped, and instead they ended up losing a few billion. Well, here's an article that talks about this over in Shit Hit the Fan Plan or SHTFplan.com. These are the shadowy New York financial institutions that forced Robinhood to restrict trading in certain stocks. That's the name of the article. Now, a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, I did a whole series on this. In fact, I talked about it on and off for weeks. The DTCC, Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation. Now, you may not remember, especially if you're kind of new to the site, then you certainly never heard it. But even if you were a listener, I mean, I talked about it 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a bit of a esoteric subject matter. So you may not remember any of what I talked about because for most people, that was the first time they heard about it is when I brought it up here. But let's see what this says. Have you ever heard of the DTCC, Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation? What about Seed and Company? Now, Seed is spelled C-E-D-E, Seed and Company. And this is one of the names they put on all these titles, these straw man titles, that actually supersede your claim on anything like your car, your own, your taxes, property. Seed means as in you seed control. You give away control. That's what that spelling of seed actually means. If those names are foreign to you, then you don't really understand how the core of our financial system really works. Now, I disagree with the author here. The core of this financial fraud, fraud financial system and the global financial system really stems down into the exchange. I forgot the name of it. It's been so long since I thought about some of this stuff. ESF, Exchange Stabilization Fund, that's it. Exchange Stabilization Fund, ESF. And this is where the real dark money operates. Now, the ESF is the back room to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was the first major financial institution in this country where they took complete control of our financial system. It was really done through the Financial Reserve in 1913. Then they came out with the an improved version of that financial control on steroids in 1933 with the creation of the ESF, the Exchange Stabilization Fund, of which there was absolutely no oversight whatsoever. In fact, most people have never even heard of the ESF, Exchange Stabilization Fund. But it is this place, this location, this financial organization where nobody knows, well, exactly what the fuck it is they do. Yet, they trade trillions of dollars each and every day. Trillions of dollars in, trillions of dollars out. They don't have to tell any government agency or oversight or anybody else, where is this money coming from? Where is it going to? Was there even any money? When they send $1 trillion, did they even have $1 trillion? Or did they just send those digital digits over to another computer and said, here's $1 trillion? This is the true dark pool of the global financial system, is the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which is really the boiler room, the back room to the Federal Reserve. So let's see what this says now. Now that you got a little bit about what is the core of our fraud financial system, let's go back to this DTCC, Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, and Seed and Company. Now, what most people don't know is when you buy a car, you buy a house, you buy a property, you buy anything with a title to it, DTCC gets a copy of that title, only kept in your name. It's kept in the name of Seed and Company. Oh, hold on one second. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so most people don't understand that, and that's right there in lower Manhattan, where the vault is that keeps all this paperwork. Going on. It says, a lot of people are blaming Robinhood. Now, Robinhood was the trading platform. Remember, all they were was a broker. They were not, they did not actually sell own the stocks in question. They were merely the broker. They're merely the market maker. They bring together the buyers and the sellers. That's what a platform like Robinhood does. A lot of people are blaming Robinhood CEO Vlad, like Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Tanev, and the heads of other major trading platforms for the stock trading restrictions that we witnessed last week. But it was actually the DTCC, Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, that suddenly jacked up deposit requirements tenfold. Robinhood and other trading platforms were put in a vice-like grip, and they had no choice but to act. Someone needs to investigate how these decisions were made at the DTCC and if laws were broken. And if laws were broken, those that were responsible for the decisions need to go to prison. Sure they will. We are being told that retail traders needed to be brought under control, quote, for their own good, end quote. But it was the reckless short selling of the big hedge funds that actually caused last week's chaos. Why doesn't anyone ever talk about restricting their exceedingly foolish trading strategies? Thanks to relentless buying by the Reddit army, several major hedge funds got absolutely slaughtered last week, including Melvin Capital. Melvin Capital, a premier Wall Street hedge fund entangled in the frenzy over GameStop, lost 53% in January, a source familiar with the matter told CNN Business. Melvin, a short seller of GameStop, bet that the company's shares would drop. But on January 11th, GameStop announced new board members could help with its digital sales. That set off a fury on Reddit, namely subreddit Wall Street Bets, which catapulted GameStop's stock more than 1,600%. So understand that Wall Street was betting the stock was going to go down, but not only did it not go down, it went up by 1,600%. And, of course, these Wall Street hedge funds had to pay that difference. Of course, the small fish are not supposed to beat up the big fish like that. And the billionaires at the hedge funds undoubtedly reached out to their powerful friends for help. There had been speculation that the big hedge funds leaned on Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev and the heads of other large trading platforms directly. But the truth is more complicated. It turns out that the pressure on Robinhood and other platforms came from the clearinghouse level. The following comes from a piece in USA Today that was authored by Vlad Tenev himself. In a matter of days, our clearinghouse mandated deposit requirements related to stocks increased tenfold. These deposits are the collateral we post to ensure our access to the clearinghouse services on behalf of our customers. They are what led us to put temporary buying restrictions in place on a small number of securities that the clearinghouses had raised their deposit requirements on. As we noted on a blog on Friday, it was not because we wanted to stop people from buying these or any other stocks. We built Robinhood to provide access to investing for all, and it certainly wasn't because we were trying to help the hedge funds. Tenev didn't mention by name that the company that clears almost all of Robinhood's trades is the DTCC, Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation. And if you're not familiar with the DTCC, there is some information available on Wikipedia about it. Now, this goes on and on talking about, so if you really want to get a little bit more of the background, what this article is saying is Robinhood did not make the decision to restrict any trading whatsoever, but in fact was ordered, probably under contractual clauses that they signed with the DTC, that told them they had to restrict the sales of certain stocks. And that came straight from the DTC, which is an extension of the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which is the back room to the Federal Reserve. Do you get it? It's a giant con. The whole financial system is one huge criminal cartel, actually operated by a little bit more than a handful of people. In fact, I would say there's no more than a dozen people that actually run the entire system and make these kinds of decisions. When they make the call, they call down to the DTCC, or they actually call from the Exchange Stabilization Fund. They call the DTCC. DTCC is then contracted with a trading platform like Robinhood and issues them a directive which says you must restrict trading on these stocks now. So I don't know if it's true or not, but it certainly seems to be quite plausible. Anyway, there's more into it. If you want to read the article, it's over in SHTF Plan. These are the shadowy New York financial institutions that forced Robinhood to restrict trading in certain stocks. Interesting, because it ties everything together. It really does. Going on. Over in Blacklisted News. Now, over in Henry's neck of the woods, Oregon is the first state to decriminalize all illegal drugs. Now, first off, in my attitude, and you've heard Henry talk about this, under the Bill of Rights, forget the Constitution, under the Bill of Rights, the government has no say whatsoever on what you can put in your body. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to stick a needle of heroin in your body and inject it so that you die within 5 minutes because you OD'd, hey, that's your business. I think it's stupid. I would certainly try and talk you out of it. In fact, I would strongly recommend you to not do it. But in the end, you know what? It's your fucking business. That's what it means to have real freedom. Real freedom doesn't mean the government safeguards your safety. No. Real freedom means you can engage in the type of activities that can get you killed. Now, as long as you're not endangering anybody else or infringing on somebody else's rights, it's your right to do that. And I agree. So the idea that the government is now allowing you to take these drugs is nonsense. They never had the right to restrict you from doing it. Now, again, I'm going to emphasize, I think it's a bad idea if you want to stick a needle in of shit in your arm. But you know what? If you're really determined to do it, you'll find a way to do it, whether it's illegal or not. Let's see what this says real quick. The source of this article, it's over in Blacklisted News, but it was originally sourced from Boing Boing. It's a hell of a name for it. Reminds me of the Italian prime minister? Berlusconi, when he used to go to the Bunga Bunga parties. Boing Boing. I don't know if that was a little play on that or not. Remember Berlusconi, when he got caught having all them little sex parties, they called them Bunga Bunga parties. He was a funny guy. Actually, when you listen to him, he was actually a really funny guy. Going on, Oregon made history today. It has decriminalized all drugs, including cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamines, via Measure 110. Users in possession of drugs can now opt for rehab rather than go to prison. Oregon is, of course, the first state in the U.S. to pass this type of legislation. From USA Today. Instead of a criminal justice-based approach, the state will pivot to a healthcare-based approach, offering addicts treatment instead of prison time. Those in possession will be fined $100. Well, then it's still illegal, isn't it? Those in possession will be fined $100, a citation that will be dropped if they agree to a health assessment. The law goes into effect Monday and will be implemented over the next decade by the state officials at the Oregon Health Authority. A decade? It's going to take them a decade to figure out how to leave people the fuck alone. Advocates say the pivot will be a life-changing for thousands of Oregonians. Now, here's an idea. If you want to stop the flow of illegal drugs into this country that's killing people all over the place, like heroin, how about you just get the most major, prolific drug distribution network in all of human history shut down? And that would be the CIA. Just shut down the CIA, and you will eliminate 95% of the global drug trade. Going on. Over in Sputnik News. Facebook reportedly considering designating the term Zionist as hate speech. Uh-oh, there we are, people. Now, what was it Voltaire said? To learn who rules over you, find out who it is you are not allowed to criticize. Well, here we are again, people. Now, that was back in the 1700s, but apparently things haven't changed much because now I guess the word Zionist, even though they call themselves Zionists, is now a dirty word. You know, it's like when blacks talk to each other. You ever see a couple of blacks talking to each other and you'll say, yo, nigger, what's happening? Hey, nigger, how you doing? But if you, a white guy or any other one other than black, walks over and calls him a nigger, oh, well, that's fucking hate speech. And, of course, they'll try and throw a beat down on you, maybe pull a knife, or maybe they'll just call it microaggression and they'll report you somewhere. Well, Zionists, same thing. They call themselves Zionists all the time. In fact, they boast about, they're proud of being a Zionist. But somehow, I guess if you're not a Zionist and you use the term, now it's hate speech. And if you use hate speech on Facebook, well, bye-bye. You don't have to be president of the United States anymore to be banned on Facebook. All you have to do is use the word Zionist, and they'll ban you too. Because Zionism is not, it is not a religious system. It is a financial and political system hell-bent on world domination. It's a terrorist organization, in short. Going on. Now, talking about terrorism, and we were talking about the military coup that's happened in this country, over in Zero Hedge. Now, this is an interesting parallel. Biden declares Myanmar crisis a coup d'etat. Sanctions coming as unrest looms. Now, this is not coincidental timing, people. I don't know what the background connections are, but I do know, just by the timing, that the coup d'etat that just occurred in Myanmar is related to what's going on right here on Wall Street, between Wall Street, public disclosure of the complete fraud that's been engaged in by these Wall Street hedge funds, coupled with the almost blown up price of silver. Again, they got it under control today. And then, of course, there's the fraud of COVID-19. And then, of course, we had our own coup d'etat. And don't forget, this all goes way back to the beginning of what was really the initiator for this, and that was the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein and the exposure – of his little pedophile human trafficking ring that went around the world. Remember that? Remember all this really started right after the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein? And I still say they were planning on doing all this, but this forced their hand to bring the timetable forward when they weren't quite ready for it. Well, apparently Myanmar just had a military coup d'etat. Now, here's an interesting correlation that most people seem to miss. Whenever there is a coup d'etat in another country, what's the first thing you see? Well, you'll see that the person typically, and not always, but the person is typically dressed in some kind of suit. Sometimes they'll stand up there to general and he's standing there in his military uniform. But what is always true is when they've had a military coup d'etat, they take the capital and they infiltrate. That is, they surround the capital with the military, protecting the coup people. Well, didn't we just have that here in Washington, D.C.? And yet, here it happens in Myanmar, and again, this is being manipulated. Myanmar didn't do this on its own. It was instructed to do this. Now, exactly who's issuing those instructions, I don't know. I don't know what the background operatives are on this particular instance, but I do know it's related to what's going on in this country and in the global financial systems. So this is not a coincidence. But here you had a military coup, and immediately Biden's declaring that this is illegal, that there has to be sanctions. This can't be tolerated. Meanwhile, he's sitting in the White House illegally as a coup d'etat, not the word activist, I'm trying to think of the word, participant. He's one of the participants in the coup that just occurred in this country in real time in front of our faces on national television. But yet, he's going to denounce what occurred in Myanmar. Let's see what this says real quick, because this is interesting. The State Department is warning the potential for civil and political unrest in Burma following the dramatic military takeover of the country and arrest of its civilian leadership on Monday. This is all international. This as all international travel has been halted and various communications, including internet, were cut to the capital. The Biden administration has not formally declared it's a coup d'etat, which means Washington is required by law to cut off all foreign assistance to the Southeast Asian country. Now, stop one second here. Now, remember, Egypt, under Assisi, General Sisi, took control of Egypt by a military coup d'etat. And under law, we are required to cut all financial and material assistance to them, but yet they haven't stopped a single dollar or a single bullet or a single munitions or a single plane or anything else military being sent to them. So the idea that the law says when a military coup has occurred, they have to cut off all material and financial assistance to a country is absolutely a farce, because it happened right there in Egypt. Back in, was it 2016, I think it was? I don't remember the exact year, so don't hold me to that. But it was with General Sisi. And, of course, nothing's changed. He hasn't been outed. He hasn't been called out in the international press. He hasn't had any restrictions on the money being sent to him by Washington, D.C. He hasn't had any restrictions on the military hardware that is sent to him by Washington, D.C. But yet, over here in this little pissant country, Myanmar, they suddenly had a coup, and, well, they're all up in arms about it. Going on. Now, this is interesting. A lot of information just is poured out in this article. Now, remember we had on January 6th the so-called incitement to riot, and that lady got killed, that Air Force girl. What the hell is her name? Ashley. I can't think of her last name. Maybe it'll say it here. She got killed, the only one who really got killed that day. When she was trying to go through that broken window, wasn't a threat to anybody other than she was trying to go through a broken window. Supposedly got shot and killed. I'm not even sure that was still true or not. But let's go with the assumption that it was true. And they never identified who the shooter was, but now the names come out. Over in Nuke Pro, murder of female vet at state capitol on Biden selection day. They tried to hide the identity of the Trump-hating black immigrant cop, but failed. Now, I don't care if he's a black immigrant. What I care about is he fucking killed somebody. Let's see what this says. The guy who killed the cop. Now they're talking about that. Let's drop down. Okay. Okay, now it says, I don't know if it's referring to another post within this post, Red Pill Media exclusive, U.S. Capitol Special Agent David Bailey. Now, this is the guy. This was that, I would assume, was some kind of Secret Service officer because he was standing there in plain clothes inside the Capitol. David Bailey, who killed Ashley Babbitt, is a Brazilian immigrant and, here it comes, people, Black Lives Matter militant. He repeatedly threatened to kill Trump supporters on Facebook for months, meaning he threatened he was going to kill Trump supporters months before he actually did it. So, yes, that does make it premeditated. It says U.S. Capitol Special Agent David Bailey, who killed Ashley Babbitt, is a Brazilian immigrant and Black Lives Matter militant. He repeatedly threatened to kill Trump supporters on Facebook for months. And they've got all these postings up there. You go to this article, they've got a shitload of the, snapshots and the articles and stuff related to this guy. I forget what they call that. A snippet, there's another word for that. When they take a picture of the image on your screen, going back months. It says early today, Red-pilled Media released an exclusive report identifying Ashley Babbitt's killer at U.S. Capitol, Special Agent David Bailey, the same man who let U.S. Representative Steve Scalise get shot nearly to death in 2017. Now, Red Pill Media has uncovered evidence confirming our previous reporting through self-incriminating Facebook posts, revealing Agent Bailey as a Brazilian immigrant who has pledged his allegiance to the deadly Black Lives Matter movement, even going so far as vowing to murder Trump supporters. Now, it goes into a whole bunch of interesting background information on this guy. Now that they have a name, now that they have a face, now that they have his Facebook postings, there is all kinds of information coming out about this guy, which can easily be used to classify this as a hate crime, a black-on-white crime, a hate crime, though, because he declared he wanted to kill somebody, not because they were committing any kind of crime, but he wanted to kill someone just because they were a Trump supporter. And there's all kinds of interesting stuff in this article. It's really long, a lot of interesting stuff in it. So I invite you to take a look over if you're interested in knowing more about this guy that killed that Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt, because there's all kinds of stuff on him out here now. Now, talking about Black Lives Matter, let me see if I can get back to where I was going. No. Okay, now over in legalinsurrection.com, legalinsurrection.com. After months of rioting and looting, Black Lives Matter, you know, that peaceful organization that burned down fucking whole towns, Black Lives Matter nominated for Nobel Peace Prize. I'm not kidding you people. I'm not making this kind of shit up. Norwegian MP Peter Ed, a socialist leftist, downplayed the 2020 BLM riots by saying, of course there have been incidences, but most of them have been caused by the activities of either the police or counter-protesters. Meaning it wasn't Black Lives Matter that set cars and buildings on fire. Anyway, they have now nominated BLM, this domestic and international terrorist organization, for the Nobel Peace Prize. Reminds me when Obama got nominated for it and eventually was given it because, you know, he increased the number of soldiers over in Afghanistan by 8,000. And, of course, the number of people who were being killed went up. So, of course, that makes you the perfect candidate for the Peace Prize when you do that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's just absolutely beyond, the old phrase saying is beyond the pale, but you've heard me say it. We're so far off the fucking map, we don't even know what direction the map is from us anymore. Anyway, unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my Nobel Peace Prize buddy, Henry Shively. Going once. And you, Henry.
Excellent report, John, and I'd say, you know, that this fellow from Brazil, this Black Lives Matter murderer, because of the timing there, I guess he would have been vetted and hired under the Trump administration, wouldn't he?
Well, I don't know how long, I didn't read through the whole article. David Bailey's his name, but It could have been. I don't know. I don't know how long he was actually working there. I don't even know what LEO, what law enforcement organization he was actually working under when he was there in the Capitol in plain clothes and he killed Ashley Babbitt. So I would have to read to this because, like I said, I pointed out this one article here over in Nuke Pro, but it's a really long article. There's a lot of really good stuff in there. So I haven't read through the whole thing yet, but I want to read through it and just see if that's a good point. Exactly when was he hired, especially for the position he was in at the time he murdered Ashley Babbitt.
Exactly. Anyways, you could send that on over to the site and we'll put it up and maybe the people want to look into that a little bit.
Okay.
We're at 24 after, and so we're going to call it a program. That was an excellent program, except for the attack that shut John off there just for a minute. We got him back on. We're getting better at fighting this particular little admiralty, or what the hell's the word I'm looking for? Anomaly of John just disappearing.
And Henry, it's snowing here again.
Oh, you're kidding.
Now it's coming down. It's got a little bit of a decent amount to it now.
Go out your front door, if you would please, and blow west.
Well, I tell you what, Henry, because I actually upped the power band on my snowblower a little bit because I really wanted it to throw the snow pretty far.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't have to be right next to the woods to get it out of my driveway. So what I'll do is I'll just point the exit chute for my snowblower. I'll point it west.
We'd appreciate it out here. We really would.
You got it.
All right, man. Anyway, we will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And you know, I'm beginning to think that, goddamn, even nowhere, there is no law, John. There is no law.
Henry, I don't even think there's a suggestion of law left in this country, in the planet. Forget this country, just on the planet. The Nobel Peace Prize to the BLM. I mean, I thought it was farcical when they did it, gave it to Obama.
Oh, yeah. I seen that this morning. But the only law left, people, is the individual free sovereign nationals of the United States and that fucking Bill of Rights. It's never been touched. It can't be touched because of the way it was written. We must enforce it or fucking just get ready for this shit to get worse and worse every day until you go over to the ditch, kneel down, and take your 40 caliber lobotomy. And that is The Word from the Trenches.